And welcome back to Cinema Vino. I got Sean Jordan.
Hey there.
And Travis Budd.
Hey, how's it going?
There you go.
There we go. Wrong one.
Oh, hey, we got Sean Jordan.
Hey, that's me.
And Travis Budd.
Hey, that's me.
Take two.
Taylor had to leave because he hasn't seen this film.
His child is being born at this moment.
Yeah. Sean Jordan's an unreliable narrator at this point. Which is interesting because we're watching a movie that is an unreliable narrative at some points.
Yeah, you know? It is.
So we're going to talk about, in this mini-pod, Everything Everywhere All at Once. A film directed by Dan Kwan and Daniel Scheinert, a directing duo known as Daniels, cleverly. And so we'll try to keep this fairly spoiler-free. A lot of people haven't seen this yet, so hopefully we can entice some people to go and check it out. It's gotten a lot of acclaim from critics, so... It's an A24 release. A24 has done a lot of really good movies.
They've done a lot of the more risky stuff recently.
Quirky, yeah.
Yeah, I think with the way the market is right now, everyone's really doing a lot of like safe movies, blockbusters.
Yeah.
A24 is the only studio that's really putting out a lot of like risky stuff. Yeah. Stuff that's not necessarily going to like hit every time, but they've been knocking it out of the park.
And I do like to give them my money because, you know, I don't want to just... go to every single huge Marvel blockbuster and, you know, have that be the only thing that we get in theaters.
I was going to say, we do like to go to all of the huge Marvel blockbusters, mm-hmm. but we also like to go to, you know, art housey, you know, support smaller production studios.
Yeah.
Yeah. We still like drinking with our pinkies.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Sniffing our own farts. Mm-hmm.
Pushing our glasses up with the bridge of our nose.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually. Mm-hmm. So, Everything Everywhere All at Once. I'm trying to define this as like black comedy, drama, science fiction, fantasy.
God, it hits so many. It checks a lot of boxes.
It is everything
in the kitchen sink. It is everything everywhere all at once. It's all the genres as well. It is a
jam-packed movie.
Transcendental.
If I had to describe it, I would say it's... lighthearted existentialism.
Yeah.
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 I'd go along with that.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Probably not for all tastes, I would say. Not my opinion.
They should have had a disclaimer about, like, you know, possibly having all the flashes mm-hmm. and the cuts if you have seizures. At one point, I was like, oh, wait, should I look away at this part? I don't know.
Do you have epilepsy?
Well, I don't know until it happens.
Don't want to find out the hard
way. I've just seen that 40 years. I think at this point we would know if you had epilepsy.
I've just seen that episode of The Simpsons where Bart goes to Japan and he watches some of their animation. Then all of a sudden, the
Hypnotoad.
Yep.
Yep. are we keeping the spoiler free first?
As much as possible.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Michelle Yeoh stars, classic actress who's been in a lot of stuff. Everything from, I want to say, was it Super Cop with Jackie Chan back in the 80s? And
Crouching Tiger.
Crouching Tiger. Yep. Tomorrow Never Dies with Pierce Brosnan. And she was in Crazy Rich Asians. Crazy Rich Asians.
That's had a few.
Yes.
It's a lot of consonants to hit at once.
Also starred Jamie Lee Curtis as an IRS auditor, which is an interesting casting.
Oh, yeah. She was great in this.
Also odd to think that an IRS auditor would play such a big part in this movie.
Yeah.
But she did. She was great.
Also stars, I'm going to probably mispronounce his name, but Ke-Huy Quan, who was in Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom as Short Round.
Yeah.
And Data in Goonies.
Yeah. So 80s fans will definitely recognize him.
And this is him kind of coming out of retirement of acting.
Yeah, he has not been in a lot in the last 20, 30 years.
And
same voice, though.
Yeah.
It has not changed.
When you hear actors say they're waiting for the right project to come along, I mean, this is a great example of like somebody who waited for a really good script to come along and pounce on that. So,
oh yeah, this is a perfect film.
Was in Finding Ghana in 2021. And before that, the only other thing he was in was from 2002.
Been a while.
It's a 20-year gap, a 19-year gap between movies.
Yeah.
So honestly, great movie to choose to come back out and like get back into acting.
Yeah.
And honestly, I would not expect this to have been an actor that's been out of the game for 20 years. He was spectacular.
So good.
He had to play multiple characters, I guess. I mean, he,
multiple riffs on the same character.
Yeah. He had to kind of jump back and forth and kind of play multiple facets, which I think is always one of the most interesting things to see actors do.
It's a challenge.
Yeah.
Even for probably an actor, like you say, who's in it all the time.
I'd say the only movie that's ever done it better is Face Off.
Exactly. I could need a page for hours.
Well, I mean, clearly you've never seen Vice Versa with Judge Reinhold and little Fred Savage.
Yeah.
You are correct.
That is a phenomenal movie. Mm-hmm. I will not say.
See that. So it's basically like a Freaky Friday situation.
It is exactly that. So this film follows Michelle Yeoh plays a wife, mother, a businesswoman, a Chinese American businesswoman who's running a laundromat, struggling and being audited by the IRS. And at some point in the movie, I don't think it's a huge spoiler to say that she discovers that there are infinite universes and that she plays a role in bringing down a multi-universe supervillain and accruing the skills from her other selves and other dimensions and bringing those all together to help beat this enemy.
A little bit like Jet Li, The One.
I drew the same comparison. Yeah. Jet Li's The One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a tiny bit.
Which in Jet Li's The One, we shall recall, it was... There were multiple universes of Jet Li's, and as each universe's Jet Li died, the remaining Jet Li's became stronger.
Like Highlander.
And there was one Jet Li hunting down all of the other Jet Li's.
Mm-hmm. And there could be only one.
Yeah.
There can be only one.
There can be only one.
There can be only one.
Yes. So, what did you guys think of this film? We'll start with Trav.
So, I was the one that was mentioning that we should go see this, because I saw the trailer way back in the day, and I was very intrigued. And really, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness comes out this week, but this one would also be a Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the film. I did look at my watch several times while it was up, because I was like, what is happening? What's going on here? Like, I was never bored, but man, it was a lot to take in at first, and you were like, you know, trying to catch up and like, what are the rules? What's the scoop here? What's happening with what, when, where, why, how? I did enjoy it. And they asked me what I gave it when we came out of the theater. And I gave it a 6.57. I would bump that up to maybe a 7 or 7.5 now. I will say I still enjoyed the trailer more than I did the actual film. Because there were some tropes in the film where I was like, oh, okay, of course this is where it's going.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. I liked all the performances. Stephanie Hsu played the daughter.
It's actually pronounced Shu.
Shu? Okay. And she was also in Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Mm-hmm. And then James Hong was in it, was the Michelle Yeoh's father in there.
Yeah.
And he's been in a ton of things.
He was in Seinfeld.
Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah. He was the maitre d' in Seinfeld, the Chinese restaurant.
Yes.
Whenever they're waiting for Costanza's table, and he's like, I say Cartwright. And then they never realize it's them, because he means to say Costanza, but he says Cartwright. And so they...
Yeah, you would definitely recognize him
from
several things. And then the only other actor I really recognized in this was Jenny Slate.
Mm-hmm.
With her dog.
Yeah.
And she's very snooty.
Yes.
Yeah, she's been in a few different things. She's been in I Want You Back, the movie with Charlie Day.
Mm-hmm. Parks and Rec.
Yep, Parks and Rec. Money, please.
Mona Lisa, yeah. And so you'd say 7.5 or 8?
7 or 7.5.
A 7.5, yeah, okay. Sean?
I gave this movie a 10.
Yeah.
Straight up 10. And going back to a lot of the conversations we've had over the last year or so about like what kind of sets a movie apart from like a 9 to making it a 10 is, for me, the difference between a blockbuster that's sort of like eye candy to a 10 is like that emotional connection, that emotional, like a movie that makes you feel something. And I feel like this one did that. And I'm a sucker for existentialism. I'll, you know, just put that right out there.
Yeah.
I mean, Slaughterhouse 5 is one of my favorite books of all time, and I think this had a lot of kind of like Slaughterhouse Five vibes, in that you kind of get that like removed from reality, jumping back and forth in between timelines. You get to see a lot of different like perspectives. I think the way that the movie was written and directed was so well done that it wrapped really intense subject matter in like this veil of absurdity.
Yeah.
Like you were dealing with, you know, very complex themes while also seeing people with hot dog fingers having a slap fight, you know, mm-hmm. like,
and ejaculating mustard into each other's mouths
through their fingers. Like, it's just stupid shit. But at the same time, what they're addressing is like a lot of really big themes.
Yeah.
And they do it so well that it makes you, I mean, it really makes you feel at the end of this movie, like, okay, like I've questioned my reality and like, I feel better about where I am as a person because of this movie. And I feel like that, you know, thematically has really done something for me that I haven't seen a movie do in a long time.
Yeah.
Just the way that they did it was so well done, the way that like it was directed, beautiful. And to do it while also making me laugh, you know, a number of times, it might've been, you know, literal dick jokes.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, if you can do that so seamlessly in a movie that also makes you think about like, you know, what's my relationship with my parents? Like, mm-hmm. what's my relationship with, you know, the people around me and what's the meaning of life?
Yeah.
You know, I think that's an amazing feat as a movie.
Yeah.
So I think this was a 10. I think it was perfectly done.
Yeah. And I would probably split the difference somewhere in between you guys. I would say I'm about an 8. I definitely enjoyed it. And like you guys, I laughed a lot and it is very thought provoking. It definitely has that absurdity to it of, you find deep issues in the most wacky scenes in the movie. And I'm like you, I told my wife, and of course, you know, knowing that it's not going to be her type of movie, it's like, I, you know, explained it to her and it's like, I love being surprised by movies. I love not knowing what's going to happen. You know, that's so unusual. It's the being John Malkovich or any Tarantino movie just about where it's like, I love not knowing what the hell is going to happen next. I love being surprised. And this movie definitely had a lot of surprises.
Knowing that it's not those Hollywood stakes where it's like, she's going to get the girl or,
yeah,
you know, what have you. Like, it's not going to end perfectly.
Yeah. And I enjoy that very much. That to me, like the Hollywood's greatest period was the early 70s. And that was when they were at their most existential. It's like, you never knew how movies were going to end. They would have very dour endings. I mean, you look at like The Godfather or Chinatown or, you know, Five Easy Pieces or any of the movies that came out that are regarded as classics now, it's like some of them have very dark endings or very thought-provoking endings and where you it's you're meant to think about them and dwell on them afterwards.
Yeah, and I don't want to talk too much in depth about the ending of this movie, but like I feel like the last line of the movie really encapsulates existentialism.
Yeah.
You know, it's that fine line between existentialism and nihilism where it's like you find... One finds beauty in life and one finds darkness. You know?
This movie like definitely presents both at different points.
Right. And I think it does a good job of displaying both sides of it, but showing where one is not quite capturing everything. Like you can find the beauty in that existentialism. You can find that beauty in not knowing what life has in store and like what, you know, our purpose is, you know, not knowing can be a beautiful thing. And I think that movie does such a good job of like showing you everything. It really is everything everywhere all at once. You know, I mean, it is the namesake of the movie.
Yeah. I'm like Travis. I definitely like found myself kind of, I don't know, attention wandering or whatever. It's like, it's never boring, but at 140 minutes, it is a little bit long.
It's lengthy for sure. Mm.
So, and I think that your ability to buy into that sort of cerebral, you know, philosophical / absurd vibe of the movie will probably determine how much you like it. If you can completely buy in, I think you'll be a 10.
Yeah, I enjoyed the absurdity at times because you see it once and you're just like, really? In this movie, it doesn't really fit. And then they go back into something else and then it shows back up again. And you're like, okay, I guess I'm wrong. I guess this does fit in this movie. Mm-hmm. And it is genre bending because it flips back and forth, like you said, to dark comedy, but then you have again just somebody gets bludgeoned perhaps to death with a dildo. Excuse me,
yep.
Like a pair of dildos.
Yeah. We don't. I almost said
nunchuck, but they weren't tethered.
They're like dildo katanas.
Yeah, it was. Well,
it was more like a dildo blackjack. Really?
Yeah, it was basically if you think of Daredevil with his billy clubs, just like wailing on somebody.
Dilly clubs.
Yeah.
Dilly clubs.
Exactly. Willy clubs. Oh,
Willy clubs. Big Willy styles on it.
But
Now I want to see a Daredevil with dildos.
Mm-hmm. The costumes were Dong excellent Devil. In this, and the quick cuts and the makeup, like they're switching and embodying a multiverse of different versions of themselves, or you see several of them, and the cuts are seamless, and there's like effects that aren't over the top. It's great, but it's hard to pin down exactly what this movie is.
Yeah.
Because again, the title says it.
Well, you also have to think about how challenging it has to be as an actor to do that, to display such radical changes of a character in a split second, you know?
Well, if you remember, there's a split second of a fight in a courtroom. And it's like a minute, or sorry, it's like a second and a half. But you sit there and you think they had to go in, do hair,
build an entire set for that.
Hop it, or just like guerrilla, not guerrilla marketing, but guerrilla filming. Like, hey, can we use this? We just need it for 10 minutes.
Walk on set of Law and Order and just be like, hey, can we borrow your court?
They just run in. They do a second and a half of a fight scene in a courtroom, and then boom, you're somewhere else.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
Those cut the editing and costuming and makeup were great in this because the amount that you see on the screen, you can watch this movie. I would 5-6 times. And notice something different every time you see it. For sure.
And that's a good sign of a really good movie.
Yeah.
Well, and Jamie Lee Curtis, too. I mean, her character is a minor character. I would say she's a supporting character.
Yeah.
But she has to play a range of parts, and she does it very well. I mean, she has to do a lot of different things in a way that a lot of different actors don't. And I think because she's kind of pervasive through the entire movie, kind of in different like phases. But they used her character really well, and I think she's goofy but fun.
Yeah.
Like she's sort of a caricature of like a bureaucrat. She has like a finger caught on one of her fingers and a wrist brace on the other hand. Mm-hmm. You know, and she's just like a weird lady.
She has a little bit of the vibe of like the Dolores in Harry Potter, like that kind of mean spirited. Uh-huh. Bureaucrat.
Yeah. Also, if you're a fan of Pixar films at all, like Ratatouille, you will love this film. Like there's some excellent jokes, Ratatouille-esque jokes in this film.
I can't help but giggle just thinking about that part. I mean, it's
ridiculous.
Everything about it's so good.
Yeah. Again, you think this movie is one way, and it completely stands on its head and is something else immediately.
Well, and really, I could tell you the entire plot of this movie to spoil it for you, and it would not ruin the experience of watching this movie. I think knowing the plot, or like you said, you know, the trailer was good. It was a good trailer. I had an idea of what this movie was going into it, and I think seeing the movie itself, I had no idea what it was going to be. You know, I enjoyed it regardless of knowing, you know, a vague idea of what the plot was.
Yeah, same here. I really did. I kind of had a vague idea what it was going to be about, but then it still surprised me.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. The ending for me was, I mean, I guess it was still surprising, but again, there were certain tropes in there where I was like, oh, I see exactly where they're going with this.
Yeah.
And it didn't arrive there in any way I thought it would, but it still got there in the end. I don't know if it's a certain method of storytelling that I'm not smart enough to talk about this right now.
You know, I will say from my personal experience as a baker, I was really glad to know that bagels played a central part of this. You know, I thought that was that was a big part.
And they literally had everything on them.
Yep. Yes.
You know,
literally everything.
Yeah.
That's what I strive for as a baker. I strive for an everything bagel.
Yeah.
A truly everything bagel.
That's the white whale.
You got to watch out for those poppy seeds, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, pop a drug test on you.
Yeah.
That's been another episode of Cinema Vino. And that's been our look at a great movie that we all enjoyed to varying degrees.
But Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Yes. an A24 release, which is now in fairly wide release. We can get it in Tulsa. You can probably get it at a theater near you.
I would hope so, yeah.
And I'm sure it'll be on streaming before you know it, but definitely check it out. I would definitely give it the thumbs up.
And say yeah, recommend. Definitely worth seeing in theaters, I think.
Oh, also, preview. We haven't talked about this. We need to watch The Northman as well, which is another A24.
Mm-hmm.
So
great cast.
Hopefully, we'll get that out sometime soon as
Are
well.
We going to finally get to see Willem Dafoe's Dong?
Yeah, I'm praying.
Well, I've seen it.
I don't think you have.
No. Actually, and if you have other questions, just, you know, at Todd Wofford Movies, is it?
Well, yeah, I'll definitely post a link on Instagram. We can
open
up our mailbag.
If I may. Todd it's has never seen or found the movie Twister. Apparently has an outtake of Philip Seymour Hoffman's balls. Testicles when he falls out of a chair. And Todd spent a large part of an evening trying to Google this without avail. So if you know or have seen Philip Seymour Hoffman's balls and Twister and can send a link or anything,
go You're ahead telling and send me that this to Todd. Day of the internet, we're not able to find Philip Seymour Hoffman's balls?
Yeah, that's a challenge to you, dear viewer.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to start a new email mailbag at cinemavinopodcast.com.
Mail sack.
Just go ahead and add us on our Instagram. We'll check those comments and we'll run down any rabbit hole of Philip Seymour Hoffman's balls.
We'll follow any leads.
We'll do our research. And we'll get back to you on that. Sean Jordan.
Yep.
Travis Budd.
Yep. Present.
I'm Todd Wofford. We thank you guys very much and we will see you guys very soon.
Eat a dick.
Love you.
Tune in next time for wedding movies. And not with a bang, but with a whimper. Pew.
Be sure to listen, rate, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Our website is at cinemavino.net, and reviews of these movies can be found at toddwoffordmovies.com.